When we were singing some of those songs, I thought about the realness of Jesus' love and the love very strong for us every day. I was imagining sitting with you in the pew and looking, you know, you would look at the person to your left and to your right, and I would do the same, and we would think, what if that person was about to descend into a Christless eternity? That's what our behavior has led us to in life. And so that's a reality that the Bible speaks about. You know, the people right that we love and we care about, and we look at our own soul and we think, boy, we've rejected God, we've turned our back on His Son like sheep, we've gone astray, and God lays on Christ the sin of us all. And right as we are about to go into hell itself, Christ comes down and rescues us. And that's what He's done at Calvary. And that's what He does on a daily basis. The great love of God. I hope we can taste that love tonight and His faithfulness and the consistency of it. And think of Jesus dying for you as if it were today. And as if you needed it today, because I think we have, based on the truth of God's Word. And I'd like for us to hear the three prayers of Jesus from the cross. And let Jesus help you be strengthened in your faith by hearing those prayers and having your life changed by them. I think they're the most intense prayers ever prayed. Came from the heart of Jesus at the most critical time in history, certainly the most important time in His life up to that point. How do you pray in important times of your life? This is how Jesus prayed. First prayer was, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And at the time, Jesus is experiencing the hatred of His mortal enemies. And people have just nailed Him to the cross. And they are shouting at Him. They are mocking Him. They are cheering for His death. And what does He do? He prays, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Amazing prayer. Life-changing prayer, if you let it get to your heart. At the time, the people weren't saying, oh my, we made a big mistake. We should have never put this man on the cross. We're sorry, Jesus. Come down off of there. We repent. We promise to do better. We will change. They didn't do any of that. They were helpless and powerless, caught in the slavery of their own sin. And Christ prays before they have one inch of faith in their heart. Christ prays for them. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. Would He pray that for you and me when we were at our worst? We have to see ourselves in the crowd. Our sins kill Jesus, the Bible says. When we mock others, we mock Him. When we insult others, we insult their Creator, Jesus. Was it for crimes that I have done? He groaned upon the tree. I imagine if we've offended people in our lives, which we have, or been offended a number of times, we would say that doesn't feel good. Those are bad experiences. But the one we have offended the most, by far, would be Jesus Himself. For every sin we commit is really against Him. And yet He gladly reached out to us from the cross. Came not to condemn, but to save. It's amazing love. He prays for us the same prayer He prayed for the crowd. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. He doesn't leave us in our sin. Sin and despair, like the sea waves cold, threaten the soul with infinite loss. Can you sense the need for the Savior this evening? Grace that is greater, yes, grace untold, points to the refuge, the mighty cross. I was thinking as we were singing how we respond to one another at a funeral. Normally at a funeral, particularly if we're near a casket, and some of you have gone through that this past year, people come and they are full of love and sympathy and help to the grieving person. And there's a greeting, and there's a peace, and there's a prayerful atmosphere. And I think the Lord would have us live that way also when we live our lives at the foot of the cross to one another and to a lost world. Ministries of sympathy and help and encouragement and standing with one another. Jesus, keep me near the cross. He prays, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Take that prayer for you and for me. Our guilt might have killed us, but Jesus took the guilt on himself. He was the Lamb of God who took away the sin of the world. God put on Christ the sin of us all. So take the prayer for yourself. Pray that way for yourself when you find sin in your life. Might you pray as Jesus prayed, Father, forgive me, for I did not know what I was doing. I did not know the hurt I caused you or myself or others. Pray it for yourself. Pray it for other people. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Pray it for a world that is very calloused toward God. No more callous than the people who killed Jesus. Could you pray for the world? Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. Lives will be changed if you do. And then the second prayer Jesus prayed was, my God, why have you forsaken me? I don't know if you've ever verbalized that prayer in your own soul. You may have in a time of despair. And I think it was the saddest prayer prayed in the history of humanity. My God, why have you forsaken me? This is Jesus, our leader, the head of the church, the one who is perfect in every way, who has no flaws in his relationship with God, saying, God, it feels like you're not here. Why have you forsaken me? Jesus is dying, and it's the most difficult time in his life. He doesn't pray, I feel the peace of God at this time. Some of your loved ones have prayed that way when their life was over. I think God will get me through this. I feel surrounded by God's care. Jesus didn't pray that way. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? He's saying, I feel God forsaken. Where's God my friend? Where's my Father when I need him most? I would imagine that qualifies Jesus to help us when we feel sometimes that God has let us down. He could sympathize with us. He would understand that feeling, although it would not be true for us. God promises not to leave us or forsake us. It's bad enough to be forsaken by his friends, by Peter, but to be forsaken by God, the faithful one, God the Father and God the Son, not in fellowship at the most devastating time in Jesus' life. The wrath of God was on Christ. That's an awful mystery. Died he for me who caused his pain. And Jesus went to that forsakenness willingly. That's an amazing thing in Galatians that Wes read. He gave himself. He gave himself. He faced that willingly. He said, no man would take my life from me. In Isaiah 53, it said, yet it was God's will to crush him. It's an awful mystery. And it makes us look at sin and how God had to go to that extent to bring about the forgiveness of sin. If forgiveness would come any other way, Jesus died for nothing. But he died willingly in our place. Remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, the disciples wanted to fight. We want to fight evil with human power. It doesn't work too well. But they wanted to fight in the garden. Jesus said, put your sword down. Don't you know I could call to my Father and he would send 6 legions of angels 72,000 angels could show up right in the Garden of Gethsemane that Jesus didn't call. On the cross, I would imagine Jesus was thinking when he said, "My God, why did you forsake me? I don't even know if I can ask for the angels at this point because I feel forsaken by God." And then even though Jesus feels God has left him, he prays another prayer. Isn't that like our Lord? To persevere. He says, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." It's a prayer of surrender and a prayer of victory at the same time. I love that prayer. I've often thought, if I am conscious at the time my life is over, I'd love to be able to pray that prayer. "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And he trusts the Father, even though everything is empty in that relationship. And he's dying. He trusts the Father. Someone said, God doesn't ask us to understand him. He asks us to trust him. Might we grow in a faith like that? That's a great prayer for a sinner turning to Christ for the first time. You might be here and not be at peace with God. You can turn to God and say, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit and my life to walk with you." It'd be a great prayer of conversion. It'd be a great prayer for a repenting believer, lukewarm about God, not excited about him, waiting for somebody else to get excited so they could get excited. You can turn to God and say, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." It could be a prayer for you in time of great trial. It was a great trial for Jesus. When it seems like God is not there for you, pray, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. I commit this trial." And then it could be a great going home prayer. The great day that you and I face God, and that's an inevitable time. It's a humbling time. He desires that we know we'll be welcomed by his love. And we could say to him on earth, right before we see him in heaven, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And he'll say, "Welcome home." Might we thank the Lord for what he did for us at the cross, praying for forgiveness, experiencing being forsaken, and committing himself to the Father. Might we do that as his children this evening. We're going to have a time of considering the last words of Jesus. If you just prepare your hearts for communion with him and with each other. We trust God's love to change our life and for Jesus to change our life, his great work at the cross. And might it always evoke a response to us, in us, that we would give everything we have and everything that we are and whatever strength of faith we can express toward God, that we would point it toward the Lord because of what he did for us. And so we remember his words. And they brought us the light of the world, but they were darkness for him. "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Jesus told the thief on the cross, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." Even at the cross, Jesus preaches the gospel. Jesus told his mother Mary, "Woman, behold your son." He told his disciple John, "Behold your mother." The compassion of Christ for you and for me, for Mary and for John. Jesus prayed, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Fellowship with God not known or not felt. Jesus said, "I thirst." The physical suffering, every bit as difficult as the spiritual suffering, And then he prays. What a wonderful Savior to pray when he's at his most devastated. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And before that, Jesus said about the work of salvation, it is finished. And we thank Jesus for finishing the work on our behalf. He's the light of the world. He offers himself in fellowship to us this evening. And as we walk, might we always rejoice in him and keep us near the cross. We're going to sing a song right before we have communion together, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross.